You feel blessed this morning?
Amen.
Let's all stand. Let's sing that little chorus she's singing in moments like these. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hand. I lift up my hands to
God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord.
Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a privilege. Lord, what an honor, Lord, it is to gather in your house this morning. Lord, we just love and appreciate you, Lord. Our hearts long to be here, Lord, to hear your word. Lord, to sing praises unto you, Lord, for you have done so much for me. Lord, we just love and appreciate you this morning. Lord, we want you to have your way. Bless each and every one that's made the effort to gather this morning, Lord. Lord, let our hearts stay open, Lord, to receive thy word. We'll give you all the glory and honors due unto you. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. In moments like these, hallelujah. Amen. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You loving this morning? Amen. Page 277, I only believe. There's a sweet, sweet spirit. Be thankful, saints. Amen. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place.
Expression.
612 in the same book. Amen. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory. For you. Worship him. He's done so much for us, saints. Hallelujah. Just think about it. Hallelujah. He's more than worthy of all our praise. Amen. Never repay him for what he's done. Amen. Brother Amos, would you take up the offering this morning? So thankful for his Holy Spirit. Amen. Good brother.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, truly are so thankful.
Amen.
Lord, for your many blessings, thy grace, and thy mercy to us, Lord. Love and appreciate you. We thank you once more for this opportunity and privilege you've given to us, Lord, together with our brothers and sisters, Lord, around thy precious word.
Yes.
Lord, we ask that our hearts and minds be open to receive the portion you have for us this morning. Lord, we ask once more that you'll bless this offering. Let it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask it in your precious holy name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amazing grace. Think about it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that sounds. precious grace and mercy in our lives. Lord, may we praise you from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, we love you. Amen. Anyone got a need on their heart this morning by them raising their hand? Brother DeLong, we ask you to take the request this morning, if you would.
Gracious Lord, we just would ask, Lord, that we can look back in our lives, Lord, and see what you've done for
Amen.
Us, Lord. Where you brought us from, dear God, and yes. We just thank you, Lord, for the leadership of your Amen. Holy Spirit, that God puts a desire in our hearts to draw closer to
yes.
you, Lord. Thy God, what an evidence, Lord, of your Holy Spirit dwelling within us, Lord. When we can feel that, oh, Lord God, to draw closer to
Amen.
You, Lord, and dedicate our lives more to you. We pray, Father, this morning for every need here today, Lord. Remember those that are sick and afflicted, Lord, and thy God in our midst, and those that are not in our midst, and you've stretched forth your hand over them today, and we pray that you meet every other need, Lord. Thy God, where there be a material need, but thy God, most of all, we pray, Father, that you'd meet every spiritual
need. Amen.
We pray, Father, that you bless your word today as it comes forth. Anoint the messenger, Lord. Take control, Lord. Thy God, total control, Lord, of it. Thy God, his mind. Thy God, his thoughts, Lord, his heart, Lord, as it brings forth your word today. We ask these things all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining. Pastor to come. Let's sing that little chorus. He is here. Hallelujah.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless His name again. He is here.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be.
Heads bowed. Precious, precious Lord, our Savior and King, all the lily of the valley, our sweet Lord Jesus, we're so thankful again for your mercy and grace. Lord, as we see the days go by and how Satan is destroying and tearing apart and perverting, we can see greater and greater your mercy in our lives. And I'm so thankful for it, Lord, and I trust each one of us here will be for the grace of God in our life. We've gathered here again today, Lord, as you know, that we've come here for a purpose. And that's to gather around your precious word, asking that your word would do a work in our hearts. And Lord, you'd move upon our lives with the moving of your Holy Spirit, that everything about us would be just like you, that the desire would be for that, Lord. Oh, we're such a needy people. Father, I think many, many times when that prophet said in his message, he said, if you just get up in that sphere, and when you get up there in the Holy Spirit and look down, oh my, see all the Ichabod all over the place. But Lord Jesus, may we be a people that rise above all this daily cares of life and living. And Lord Jesus, be a vessel completely yielded unto you. I trust that'll be the desire of every man and woman and young person in this building this day, Lord. And may the word of God help us to reach that place. We ask now that thy will be done as we commit ourselves unto thee, that Lord, you'd speak your word from these pages into our hearts. In your holy name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. We're living in a wonderful time, but yet perilous times. Amen. Apostle Paul warned us that it would come. Let us turn our Bibles to the book again of Matthew, 5th chapter. And let's just read this little scripture one more time. And then we'll read a few others just to kind of top this off this morning. And make sure we're getting this part of it before we move on to the other part of it. Again, he says, be ye therefore perfect, 48th verse, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And may the Lord bless during his word, and you may be seated. Now we realize there's a perfection that he has done for us already. He's brought us to. And then there's a place of desire to be everything that he wants us to be. And that is so precious. And we realize that through what the prophet said, that's what comes from a person that is perfected in Christ. They have a kind of desire. They have a kind of longing and burning on the inside to do and to complete everything God wants them to do. And, you know, as I said the other night, you know, it's, especially living in this day and age, it's a rare thing to see people really with that kind of desire and that kind of hunger to do everything and to be everything the way God wants them to be. It's gotten to the point, it's listen to the word, listen to it, and it never comes to pass. It just, listen to it. It almost tickles our ears to listen to it. No. Instead of becoming a reality where people can really stand in an evil day and stand on truth and hold and be exactly what God wants them to be, you know, instead of getting pushed for this direction, that direction, and every little test and trial comes along, throws us for a loop. We think it's come to the end of the world. Instead of being real solid in Christ. And I think many times about that. I think, you know, in the early years when the martyrs gave their, I don't know if any of you have read the Fox's Book of Martyrs or not. But when you see what people really went through, and they didn't have what you got. They didn't have the word that you have. And they was able to go through what they went through. I think, Lord, what has this age come to? Where the so-called Christian can't even take a test or a trial. What has it come to? I mean, is this how weak we're getting? Is this how soft we're getting? And, oh, we want to be Christians and we want to be really known as believers until something happens and then we don't know what to do. Our world blows up. It falls to pieces. And we're so weak. After all the word of God that has been given. I think this many times. I think this many times where we can get off track so easily. And supposed to be the people that we're supposed to be. Now, if we're some Pentecostal church down the road, or a Methodist, Baptist church, Catholic church, you can see these things happen. And they will happen. But in a bride, it shouldn't be. There should be people that are stronger than what they are. And that can take something that's rough, hard, bad. And I don't know how long it will be before the Lord comes. I don't know how long it'll be before California goes under. But we know this one thing. The Lord is going to appear and California is going under. Amen. All these things God said would happen, they will happen. Exactly like He said. And again, I think, where are we at, you know, as a people? Now, I realize we sit here today and we're individuals. And we all have our own experiences. We all have we have beliefs, and what we believe, and what we think we believe, what we think we know, or what we really do know, what we really do understand, what faith we really have, or what faith we think we have. There's just all kinds of things, you know. But again, I feel God is really moving to get a people really ready. Ready for the appearing of the Lord. Ready to face reality of things really going bad. They can stand. And then after they've stood, stand some more. You know? But I'm telling you, it's hard to find people like that. I mean, it's really, it's sad to see that just little things in life are so upsetting and just tear us to pieces. I trust we're going back in this, and I will go back into a few things that I've already read, to kind of, as I said, to tie this part of it up this morning, Lord willing. But again, I feel the need to make sure you've had the opportunity, the Holy Spirit, to dip it in your heart. Amen. And make sure you got it. But I want to read another scripture here, if you want to turn with me. Let's turn to, again, let's see, I think I had it wrote down here somewhere. Yeah, here it is. It was Matthew 5 and 6. And let's read that again. We read it Thursday evening. Just make sure you got it, and make sure any of those that was missing could listen again what the scripture says concerning these things we'll bring today again. Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed are they which do hunger, and we're talking about what the original Greek says, seek with eager desire, okay? Hunger and thirst, which is painfully feel the want of. Okay, so blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Okay, so we want to look up at the word righteousness and again see what it says. And so let's put it this way now. Blessed are they which do seek with eager desire and have a painful desire. A painful desire. For integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, to be right. Correctness of thinking and feeling and acting. Now think of that. Because as we looked up righteousness in original Greek, that's what it was saying. So again, let me read that again. Blessed are they which do seek with eager desire and have a painful desire for integrity, virtue, purity of life, righteousness, and righteous, correctness of thinking and feeling. Oh, blessed are these people that desire these things. And acting. Wow. No wonder they're blessed if they have that kind of desire. To make sure everything is in purity. They have the correct way of thinking. A correct way of acting. Yeah. Virtue. They have a eager desire. And it's painfully. I want you to think about it now. Just think of what I'm saying here. And in the scripture we just read. Painfully. I'm sure we ought to know what, if something's painful about it, to when it's so bad, it becomes painful. That you long for it. You just can't seem to live without it. It's become so painful to you. As I used the illustration toward the end of the service Thursday night about a man and a woman in love with each other and they about to get married. And they found their true love in life. And it gets to the point it just seems like you can't wait to get off work to go see her. You can't wait to see her the next night after you leave. You can't wait to talk to her on the phone. You can't wait to write her a letter. You just can't wait because it's so painful to you. The desire to be with her. The longing. It becomes painful. Now maybe some never experienced that, you know, and it's just, oh, I want to get married because I want to be married and take anything you get. No. If you're really in love, it becomes painful to you, you see. So he also says here again in Ephesians 4 about the fivefold ministry. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, and here it's the complete equipping. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying, or to promote growth. That's what we're here today, to promote growth. Okay? We're here today to read from the scripture, read from the prophets, what he said in his messages, to promote a growth so that you won't go out the same person you came in, but you will go out a more dedicated, surrendered person to Christ than you came in. And see more of Christ in you than when you came in. Okay? Now remember, all the evils of darkness and everything are against it. It's fighting hard against it. You see, it don't want God to have his way like that. So any darts, as we mentioned there a few weeks ago, is being thrown at you that can possibly be thrown. And it depends on what we're armored with. How we'll be able to stand. If we get armored like the scripture tells us to be armored, then they will not be able to penetrate and do the work that Satan tries to do. And that's the problem with a lot of people. They don't get armored right when these tests and trials come along. And it becomes so tremendous and huge to them that they just can't hardly bear it. And then it causes them to break the word of God. Somewhere along the line, they didn't get armored right. They've left something off. Now remember, God has provided a way for us to get fully armored. Excuse me. So, what is going on as far as an individual in our life? Is there something that I can't yield to? Something maybe I haven't got what I think I have? Or just what is going on? Now, I want you to also remember, God knew what was going to be said in His service before we was ever born. Amen. He did. Before He was ever born in this flesh, He knew what was going to be said in His service. And He also knew already how we would accept these things I'll read today. He knows what we'll feel toward them. He already knows what will change in our life before we got that door. He already knew these things, or what wouldn't change, you see. And we can sit around, saints, and we can maybe think that, praise God, you know, I don't see so-and-so doing this, so why should I worry about it? I'm going to tell you what. You don't have time for that. You don't have time to wait on somebody else. This is something between you and God. Yeah. Not that you don't love the other person. Maybe not that you don't love the rest of your family or your wife or your husband, whichever way it may be, your children. Not that you don't love them. But you're definitely not going to let anything, anybody, a wife, husband, whoever it may be, children, hold you back. Not at all. This is going to be something, it's between you and God. It's going to be something that you have the desire and the longing for to be all purity in what you do. To have the correctness of thinking and acting. Yeah. This is going to be something that goes on inside of you and can do one thing but express if it's in you. And you don't have to try to do anything. It'll just come through you. Yeah. It's going to be something God places inside of you that it works. This will happen what I'm going to read today. Because I'm going to give you a couple examples of how it worked in the prophet. And I believe with all my heart, now there may be someone sitting here, I hope there isn't, but maybe somebody sitting here would think, I don't know if the prophet was born again or not. Well, I know he was born again. I know he was filled with the Holy Spirit, you see. And God was working through his life. I know he was not a false anointed one. I know he was genuine. He was a vindicated prophet of the age. I have absolutely no doubt. And if all of you would stand up today and try to prove it to me that he wasn't, I'd say, see you later. You can take your false doctrine and creeds. See me no more. Because that's how true and solid, even if it's my own wife, my own children, it makes no difference. Yeah. When I say I love Jesus Christ, most of all, I mean that.
Amen.
Yeah. I really mean that. And I want Christ to have that full preeminence in my life. And I want that desire to be completely be what He wants it to be in my life. To where everything is being done exactly the way He wants it done. And that is something very precious to have. To really be longing to be everything and act everything the way He would want it to be, think everything the way He would want it thought, be in all purity, whatever it may be. That is so precious to have. Now, God alone knows how many of us have that. God alone knows how many of us sitting here want that. God alone knows how many of us are sitting here know we need that. You see? But I'm going to tell you what, this is the truth. This is what God wants in our life. This is what God is working through in His bride. He's not going to mess with people that hasn't not got a desire fully for Him. No, He just don't do that. That's why He placed a part of Himself in the individuals to make sure it would come out just right. And they would fulfill exactly what He planned for them to fulfill and knew it would happen. You see? So this isn't something I'm just going to come along and if I'm not seed, this isn't something I'm going to come along and say, I'm going to do this. You're never going to do it. You will never have that kind of desire if that seed isn't laying in there. Me standing up here as a minister this morning, knowing what I'm going to read today, I know without a doubt if the seed isn't in there, you'll never do it. Absolutely never. But I can only trust that everyone in here will reach that place and have that kind of desire. That you're not be like all this other so-called religious world that can't take anything, that can't take something coming against them. They can't keep from arguing if somebody says something just a little bit the wrong way to them. No. You're not going to be like that rest of the so-called religious world. You're not going to be like the so-called religious world that claims they're Christians and do the things they do, act the way they do, think the way they do the good places they go. No. You'll not be involved in that so-called religious world. It'll be Jesus Christ living through you. Completely. Ready for rapture. All right? So he says here in the message, the seed's not everyone's shucked. Just to remind us to you again. And this is one Brother Pitts was talking about. And that's what we should strive for, is his perfect will. Now I wonder, is that what it is? I already read the scripture again. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Is that what we're striving for? His perfect will to be done in our life? Not a permissive will. A perfect will of God. Do we strive for that? You know, some people in their educational realm and their life coming up, and they maybe get out of high school and they're striving to be maybe a doctor. And they'll go to college and they'll do this. And they do all kinds of things they have to do without and all. And they'll work hard maybe during the day to help pay for their education and everything. But they're striving with all that's in them to be a doctor. Oh my. And their life, sometimes ones that take it serious, they don't run around with the gang at night and getting drunk and all this nonsense they do in some of them, these colleges and things. But somebody takes it serious, they apply all their life to it. Yeah. Are we applying everything we've got to do his perfect will? Everything. Right. Now with what I'm saying today, it may be putting questions in your heart. It may put a question in your heart, am I doing this? Is this really my life? Or am I just amongst thousands of these so-called believers that's not producing nothing? Or am I a genuine bride of Jesus Christ, a son or true daughter of God? What am I? What we do every day proves what we are. Every day. What we think about, our decisions we make, the places we go, as I said, all these things, what we disobey in God's word, everything just proves exactly what really is on the inside. Okay? I may seem like I'm speaking a little out of term, but wait till it gets to some things. Okay? And knoweth it not, August 15, 1965, paragraph 280. You all remember when he says this. I want you to think about it. He said, clean your lives up. Is there anything in our life that needs cleaned up? Now, the sad thing is, it's something that needs cleaned up and we don't recognize it. That's the sad part. And that's why I must come in the way of the washing of the water of the Lord. So I can make sure that everything is right. But again, do I have a desire to make sure everything is right in my life? Do you desire to make sure everything is right? Not just what you think about, but everything what only the Holy Ghost can bring to your attention. You see? Pay your debts. How many times over the years you've seen believers not pay their debts? Bill collectors coming on them to pay their debts. And maybe there's times that happens. But one thing about it, it's like Brother Branham said, if you can get by paying a quarter a week, you make sure you keep paying on it. Get paid off. Yeah. Don't just sit back and say, oh, I'm just going to forget about it. No, no, no. That's not a believer. No. Owe no man. Jesus said now, like your house rent and stuff, you've got to do that. But he said, get all your things off your hands. Oh, get everything right. Get everything off your hands. Anything, all things, make sure it's right. Get everything right. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. But I shall be filled. Do you really want everything right? Or when it comes to something that costs you a great price, it's just going to sit back on the shelf somewhere. Or is there really something? Now, saints, remember, I stand up here and as I do this, and as I'm presenting these things, and the way I'm presenting it, I know the rocks will cry out, it's too hot. I know that. But that little seed, that's what I want. I want everything right. Everything. You know, it's like this right here again. Y'all remember that? Most of you, anybody was here? It's all made out of steel. Now, what that started out to be, this was from Mr. Brown. They came here, blacksmith, and gave a demonstration. Took just chunks of metal. And he's dead now. He passed away. But just took chunks of metal, steel, and made that. And what did he have to do to get that to that masterpiece? It took a lot of heat. It was glowing red. And I'll guarantee you there wasn't no germs living in that once he heated that red hot. And then he had to take the hammer and beat it and beat it and chisels and cut and beat some more. Heat it up again. Beat it some more. But it came out to be something. And to start with, it didn't look like it was going to be anything. And remember he asked, he said, what do you think it's going to be? When it wasn't very far along. And all of us in our mind was thinking, what's this going to be? Especially when he was making this piece, thought, what in the world is that going to be? You know, a curved piece he's got now. And when I look at this, you won't be able to see it from back where you're at. But you see all the hammer marks in that steel. Oh, there's a lot of them. I don't know if you could count them. I don't know how many really you'd come up with. But there's a lot of beating and hits in that to bring it what it was. And sometimes we don't realize, but God's word beats and chips and hits hard and a lot of heat put to it to get us to be what we want to be or what he wants us to be. It takes a lot. And sometimes it takes years. How many times or how long maybe some of us has been in the message and it's still beating us. It's still beating all the impurities out of us. But when God gets done with us, he's going to take us home. It's going to be exactly what he wants to be. If we can take the beating. If we can take the heat. Now, some people just don't like heat. They just don't like to be beat on like that. I'm going to tell you what. If you're going to come God's way, you're going to get beat. Yeah, you will. You'll get beat. Sometimes you think, wow, why did I ever do that, you know? Why didn't I see this? And why did that have to happen? But God had a purpose in it. Sometimes he does that to build greater character in our lives. Sometimes he lets us go to the lowest point where we don't think, oh no, I can't do this. Because that's when we're going to raise our hands and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you, Lord. I trust that's what we'll come to. But Lord, I need you. I need you to put my hand into the sleeve, as the prophet talked about. Little boy putting the hand in the sleeve, you know. I need you to do it, Lord, because I can't do it. Yeah. So may the beating of the Word of God and the hammering, did not Apostle Paul say himself, I bear in my body the marks. I trust we'll be able to have marks on us. Yeah. Where the Word of God has beat us and took out all of the impurities and made us into something he could use. Yeah. It's like that little masterpiece right there. I think, you know, I believe at that time that man knew he wasn't in good health. Yeah. Because of things he said. And I wonder if it probably was going through his mind, he was going to make something, because he said, I wanted to make something you could put in the church. You know? He probably knew he wouldn't be around not much longer, and he wasn't. He didn't live a year after that. But yet, he had something in mind. The master had something in mind he wanted to do. But there's a great master, and he wants everything to work just the way he wants it to work. And he already knows what the end's going to be. Yeah. If we can yield. What if that chunks of steel kept jumping out of the way and he couldn't get a hold of it? He wouldn't have been able to do it. But they laid there like a little lamb. Yeah. Laying there for slaughter. Which is what we've got to be. But saints, why not let the Word of God do in your heart what it needs to be? Or we just come here today, Brother Stevie, and he's going to read, oh, he said he's going to read some of the same scriptures, read some of the same quotes. Well, if you just let it get inside of you, you wouldn't have to read it over and over again. But God knows when you come in here and you ain't ready for it, or you don't want it, or you think you already got it. That's the real bad one. You ever see such a religious age? You ever see an age where people get a little of this message under their belt and they think they're everything? And they think they know everything because they got a message under their belt, whether it lives or not. But saints, it's the age and time we're living in. But it's more important that it live through you than you know it intellectually. Yeah. Because if you get the Holy Ghost, then he said, I will bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Yes. So what's more important? Try to sit down intellectually, learn it? Or to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it? That's the thing. Okay? So he says, get all your things off your hands. Get everything right. He said, make ready. He said, get ready. Remember, in the name of the Lord, and he screams it out. Something is fixing to happen. Oh, yeah. He knew. This was just a few months before the Lord took him. I'm going in the hills this week. And not exactly to hunt squirrels, of course. I like to hunt squirrels. But I'm going out there for this purpose and saying, here was prophet of God, has seen way more than we'll ever see right now at this time. And God worked through him mightily. He said, but I'm going out there for the purpose and saying, oh God, I don't know which way to move. All the word he had. I don't know which way to move. Shows with inside him, he was wanting to make sure everything was going just the way God wanted to go. Everything. And again, he had a whole lot more than we got on the inside. Mentally. Can remember the word. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He says, I don't know which way to move. And I don't want to miss this, Lord. Help me. And you can tell what he was doing. It was in desperation. Yeah. You pray for me, he said. A prophet of God. The standing he was in. And asked the people, pray for him. Oh, yeah. Because he wanted everything the way God wanted it to be. How sincere are we? How serious are we about this? Of all this that we know and have been given, how serious are we? He said, I don't want to miss this. He said, help me. You pray for me. Will you do it, he says? I'll be praying for you. And I hope by the mercies of God that I'll meet every one of you and we'll meet in a better land than this here. Me too. I hope we all meet in a better land than this here. And what are you coming here for, he says. Why did you come here this morning? Did you come here just for attendance? So that you can feel satisfied for a signal to assume yourself together? Or did you come here for another purpose? Are we coming here playing a game? And so many churches are. Message churches even are playing a game. Oftentimes, it's one minister see if he can outpreach the other minister. It's one minister seeing if he can get more hands raised, more amens than the other one. So another one gets up and he tries to convince them that they're his deceit. They're a game they're playing. Yeah. Evangelists try to slip in and see if he can get people to follow him instead of staying where they're at. All kinds of things going on. Deceit, filth, corruption. Do we want to be a part of that? Do we want to be a part of people that say, if you don't come here, you're lost? Do we want to be a part of that? Do we want to be a part of people when the preacher gets up and says, and it's not just one or two or several of them, you do what I say. If you don't, you're lost. Oh my. Gameplay. The devil's games. Do we want to be a part of that? Do we want to be a part of this, a lot of this other, I'm not saying all, but we want to be a part of this message believing people. It's a bunch of fakes. Fooling around, blaspheming the Holy Ghost, mocking and scoffing the Word of God, adding to, taking away. Do we want to be a part of that? I want no part of it, friends. None. And the true bride of Jesus Christ will not be. No, they won't. He says here, Christ can't come until the church is perfectly right. Perfectly right. He's waiting on us. I believe he knows what he's talking about. If I didn't, I wouldn't even read that. I just stopped where I did. But I believe he knows what he's talking about. He's waiting on us. I believe we're at the end time. I believe that with all my heart. And if we ain't got eyes enough to see that, we better really be praying. Because all this going on today, friends, ain't going to work. No. But there is a true going to come out of that. Oh, it should be no part of it. No. Things that are to be. Paragraph 62, December 5th, 1965. A few days before the Lord took him. Now, we read this again a few days ago. But I'll read it again. He's talking about eternity and what he has in heaven prepared, perfection and so forth. He says, a perfect place is calling you to perfection. Calling. Is there a deep call into the deep for that? Down on the inside? I know, friends, I'm just up here talking. But I'm just trying to stir your pure minds to the Word of God and bring it to reality. I'm not satisfied. People are being whipped too much. People are accepting too many things of the world. People are mocking and scoffing this message. Yeah. And they can't see it. They're blind. You have to be perfect to get there. The Bible said, Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's a perfect kingdom. So it must be a perfect people come, because you have to stand and be married to a perfect Son of God, and you must be a perfect bride. Now, we know Christ is going to do that for us. But there's a desire to reach that place as far as even what we do for God. Yeah. You think God just made a perfect people, and they're going to be perfect in His sight, and they're just going to live like hell? Nonsense. See, Brother Steve, you put that awful hard. Yes, I did, for a purpose. Because people think they can go out and do little things and leave little things they call it undone and think they're going to make it in. I hope I get time, but I'm going to read you something. It won't work. No. If you are one that He has made you perfect, oh my, you're going to be a real different individual. Christ will be living through you. Yeah. But we've got all these impersonations and deceit going on today. I'm perfect, and live like a slob spiritually. It don't work, friends. No. So it must be a perfect people come, because you have to stand and be married to a perfect Son of God, and you must be perfect bride. So how can you do it through anything else but the perfect Word of God, which is the waters of separation that washes us from our sins, which is unbelief? Yeah. Remember, we do these things because we don't believe it. Smoking, cursing, those things, committing adultery, that ain't sin. That's the attributes of unbelief. If you believed, you wouldn't do those things. That's right, the blood of Jesus Christ, think of it, the dripping bloody word, the blood, the Word of God bleeding, blood to wash the bride in. Yes, sir. She stands perfect, virgin, unadulterated. She never sinned in the first place, and she was trapped into it, though. Oh, yeah. But He's got a way of getting us out of it. Yeah, thank God He does. All right. How can I overcome? Paragraph 41, August 25th, 1963. I was crossing, very simple things here, but let's listen to them. I was crossing an old log the other day, a wash, we'll call it, what is called a holla, and I jumped up on the log, and on the outside it looked good. It looked like a big old beech log. But when I jumped onto it, oh, a great chunk of it fell off. It was real rotten and dotty. I said, that's the way Christians are becoming. They've been dead in sin and trespasses so long to become dotty. They can't hold no weight at all. No. They can't hold no pressure. They can't hold nothing when trials in life come. When the bad times roll in. But remember, as the little song goes, He's not God only in the bad times, but in the good times too. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what kind of revelation do we have to hold us through these tests and trials and things in life, cares of life that's thrown at us and tries to deceive us and take us away from the Word? Oh my. As I've said before, it's amazing to see the things Satan can do and make people leave the Word of God so easily and disobey. And you think, how could it be? Don't we realize this is Satan's Eden? Don't we realize this is his civilization right now? He's getting trying everything he can to do it? Yeah. Oh, my. It can't hold no weight at all, you see. They don't know what overcoming means. I've been preaching going on 38 years, friends, 39, and I've seen it all my life. They don't know what overcoming is. They don't know what it is to do. Oh, they've come along and they've come as far as sanctification even. But when it comes down to doing everything God wants done, there's still that backbiter. There's still that busybody in other men's matters. Yeah. They just can't seem to overcome all the obstacles. No. Just seem like they can't do it. They go as far as what they can mentally keep together in their mind. Oh, I shouldn't do this. And they really don't do it because they really ain't got the desire to do it. But there's a lot of good moral people and they just got desire to go in bars and drink. A lot of good moral people that don't want to run down the highway past the speed limit. Oh, there's thousands, millions of them. I don't mean anything. It's every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is what means everything. You see? Oh, my. Saints, I know this ain't easy. It's not easy for me to do it. I sit back in that room before I come in and I said, Lord, they're going to think I'm crazy. Why don't I just walk away, forget it, and let somebody else do it? Then maybe it'll go right. Is it going right, Lord? I question the Lord many times. I think, why? I'd rather preach about other things, but I can't help it. I'd rather die and try to change what the Holy Spirit tells me to bring. See? And if people leave, if people don't care, I can't help it. But at least I have the satisfaction on the inside. I'm doing what God wants me to do. You see? Amen. He says, they've been dead in sin, trespassed long till they're dead. They can't hold no weight at all. He said, and he said, begin to think of this text, overcome, keep life in you. When life went out, that's what brought that log to that condition. And it made it worse than ever when it laid in the branch where the water was. Here we are sitting today in the washing of the water of the Word. Are we going to go out worse? I can only ask God, please, don't let us go out worse. Will we go out discouraged and just give up? God, help us to be more men and women than that. But be as Joshua and Caleb, men and brethren, we are more than able to take it. Amen. Hallelujah. Instead of being like the 10 spies. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I trust there's more than that in us. Amen. Because there ain't. You're lost. And then, there you take a Christian that's supposed to be a Christian. Let the life of God go from him. And the experience, the joy of serving Christ and living in a church where such is going on. I trust this going on here. I'll read it again. And then there you take a Christian that's supposed to be a Christian. Let the life of God go from him. In other words, not be there. And experience the joy in serving Christ and living in the church where such is going on, he rottens twice as quick. Right. Living right under it. All right. So if we are trying to follow the message of the hour, or at least this part of the message, we should live constantly in the life of Christ. Because if it don't, you lay around and know that these things that you're supposed to do and don't do it, the Bible said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. Then you become dotty and rotten when you're separated from the life of God. And guess what? You can't hold no weight at all. Everything that comes along crushes you. Yeah. And to a real son or daughter of God that's in the Spirit and life is pulsating, I think, that took them under?
How could it be? Nothing to it. How could it be? But when the weight hit them, they fell apart. Fell to pieces. Oh, they couldn't take no weight. My. He said, then you become dotty and rotten when you're separated from the life of God. So, and he screams out, strive with all that's in you to stay in the life of Christ, that you'll be fruit bearing. Oh my. I hope you're seeing the picture. Another couple things he brings to show everything must be right. Or God don't accept it. Okay. And things that ought to be. And both these times we're in talking about praying for the sick and so forth. This one here is not in the prayer line, but the other one is. He says, oh, this is in Things That Are to Be, December 5th, 1965 also. I wouldn't do nothing to hurt him. Think of that. I wouldn't do nothing to hurt him. You're talking about a man that was really born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, really had the life. He said, I wouldn't do nothing to hurt him. Certainly not. I love him. I want to do everything he wants me to do. Is that our desire? We want to do everything he wants us to do. I want to cope with every word that he said. No matter what the world says, they ain't going to believe it anyhow. He says, I want to know what he said for me to do. Hallelujah. I want to know what he said for me to do. Is that what you hunger and thirst for? Oh my. Or did you just come today so that you can say you come to church, you call it? Oh my. And if I lack something, is this the way we pray? I want him to give it to me. There's only one knows that if you lack something, and that's him. Because you don't know. No. So we must pray and ask God, if there's anything I lack, Lord, you know me better than I know myself. You know what I need brought to my attention. Please give it to me, Lord. And live for him, keeping ourselves from the world. Wow. Such powerful things. I don't know what it means to you. Somebody that's not born again, don't even have the seed of God, and this means nothing. Absolutely nothing. But honestly, I can't see if you've got anything at all in you, how this don't mean something to you. Because there ain't nobody in here don't need a closer walk with God. You say what you want, but every one of us sitting here need a closer walk with God. Oh, yeah, we do. Yes. The Son of David, have mercy on me. February 15, 1961, paragraph 47. He said, confess all your faults. Ask God to forgive you of everything you've done. Can we do that, really? Get everything right. Quit going around leaving things undone. Get everything right. Remember, he wants us right. He said, and then pray for healing. He's talking about. Then pray. But you make sure everything's right first. God ain't going to pay attention to everything you write. How many times in the prayer line, in discernment, he'd tell the people, you have to go get this right first. And you think we should just walk around all our life and letting things hang that we've done wrong and don't take care of it? And not worry about everything being perfectly right in our life? Oh my. There may be a time come you really need him. Yeah. Then what are you going to do? You can pour all the oil on that you want and scream as loud as you want, as he said. ain't going to do you no good. Nope. But look how many times we try to come to God and ask God to heal us, and we ain't got everything right. Just got done having a fuss with the husband. Oh, I'm sick now. I'm sick today. Lord Jesus, help me heal my body. And you just fussed with your husband. You just got done having a thought going down through your mind, flying down the highway 75 when it's 65. And maybe you crashed. Oh, God, help me! And pour all the oil on it you want, friends. He searches the reins, knows the thoughts. He knows in your thoughts you didn't care and give a hoot whether you was running 75. The laws don't mean nothing to you. I'm a believer. Believe it or not, that is the mentality of thinking some believers have. So-called believers. It don't pertain to me. I'm a son of another kingdom. Such nonsense. He said, get everything right and then pray. Then put the handkerchief on your undergarment, over your heart. Then believe. So she met all the requirements. He's talking about this lady did that, that was sent to her. And when she did, she put her hand over her heart and said, now, old man devil, you've been in here long enough. Get out of here. And here she come a-walking. Just that simple to believe. She had to get everything right first. Another one, he says, Works as Faith Express, November 26, 1965, paragraph 99. Well, that's the same way with preaching divine healing or anything else. As you go along, you begin to learn. If you don't learn, there's something wrong. See, you've got to learn, and you've got to learn how to accept God and what it really means. We sometimes say, well, this guy didn't have enough faith. This guy didn't do this or this. There's a reason for that. There's a reason, he repeats. Sometimes it's unconfessed sin. Yeah. You could pour a gallon of oil on a person and scream till you got hoarse. It'll never move that devil. No, sir. You've got to confess that. Why? Because God wants everything right. Simple as that. And he don't work with something that ain't right. So we got to make sure it gets right. You've got to confess that. That's what discernment does. It says, go make that right, and brings it out. Discernment. Who is that? Is that Brother Brown's thinking? No, it's God that knows the heart. He just reveals it to this prophet. You see? He knows what needs taken care of. So if it works that way in the prayer line, don't you think he knows everything else while we're just going around? Huh? Don't you think he knows what's taking place in our life every day? It ain't God don't just pay attention to it when you come to a prayer line, friends. It's wherever you're at any time of the day. Yes, and every day. He wants everything right in your life. Now, he sent predestinated people that he could place that desire into. And they will be that way. This brings the recognition, and just what I'm bringing here, it just brings you to a recognition to realize this is the way it has to be. And this is the way a born-again son or daughter of God will be. I can't go out this door now and, Brother Steve preached to me, I'm going to try to be that way. No. Going to work. I just stirred your minds the way of remembrance of his plan, what he wants in our life. Depends on what you've got on the inside to what it means to you and how far you'll go with it and what will be your everyday life and hunger and desire to be everything exactly what God wants you to be. I love his word. I'll quit there. Been almost an hour. Why don't you sisters come to the instruments, please? Amen. Saints, I feel such a pressure. I don't know how to say it. To get this to where people can realize it and see it. But I know I can't reveal it. I can't put it in your heart. But I know the Word is spirit and is truth. And I know these little things. You remember a woman, and particularly many of you remember, like some of these little stories about the rotten log and different things. Story about the possum coming to the door. These different things. And you remember a lady who was well-renowned. All them's just stories. There's nothing to them. Been in this message for years and still in this message. I'm going to tell you, friends, I believe everything God gave through that prophet and even those stories, it was for a reason. Yes. And to blaspheme the Holy Ghost like that. So she's saying it's not God. So, Brother Steve, haven't you forgot about them things? How can I? When that same spirit still goes to the land. How can I? And being a minister of the gospel. Be careful, saints, that you don't let some ungodly, horrible devil of darkness put something in your mind that you think you're so right and you're so wrong.
Amen.
It'd be so close in the last days. And to see the very elected, if we're possible. And I think of how many people in this message are going to be deceived and already are deceived. I would say thousands, but I'd almost say probably millions. Millions. Think of it. Who else is going to be the people that would thou knowest to do good. Thou knowest. What you did was iniquity. You knew to do good and did it not. You knew. I sent my prophet. He gave my message. He told you exactly what to do. And then you took and turned it this way, that way, mocked it here, made fun of it there, said this wasn't God, and this, that, and the other, and you walked away from it. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. You knew to do good. How many people in this message know the real good? Sounds like I'm always against people in this message. I just know how many is deceived, friends. There's a lot of them. That tears the heart out of me. And I know how easy it is for Satan to deceive you sitting right there. Because of hanging on to tradition. Hang on to what some daddy told you. What some uncle told you. What some preacher told you. Why can't you just go back to what that prophet said?
Amen.
Now, I didn't get to this part of it. I wanted to, but I didn't this morning. To tie it all together. Friends, I'm telling you, listen. Pay attention. Don't let anything distract you. I warn you. Don't you let anything distract you. You give your whole life to this. And if I am not doing you justice and doing what you feel I need to do, don't worry about hurting my feelings. You go where you think you need to go. That won't bother me, friends. It'd bother me in a sense that worrying about maybe what would happen to you if you choose the wrong way. But don't worry about hurting me because you don't want to be here. Don't do that. I'm just one little pebble on the beach, friends. And I'm nothing. Nothing. And I couldn't blame people for not wanting to listen to me. I couldn't blame them a bit. Honestly, I couldn't. I'm probably one of the worst there is. But I trust that you will listen to the words and draw out of them everything in reality. Oh, God. Lord, help us all. May we make sure everything is right, Lord. Everything. Don't let anything be wrong. I worry, friends. We've got a place to get to, and only through Christ we'll get there. But He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. When you compare Christians of today to what there was in Pentecost, my. When the tongues of fire come down upon them, and they went down out of that upper room, there was results, real results, lasting results. And they wasn't like that old beach rotten dotty log when they took Paul to the chopping block. I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. There's a crown prepared for me and all those that love the Lord. When they took Peter, that chunk didn't fall out. Hang me upside down. I am not worthy to hang upright like my Lord. Those people had something real. What would happen to us if they'd hang us on a cross? Would we deny our faith? It wouldn't be easy. Wouldn't be easy to be hung on a cross. Wouldn't be easy to be strapped down to a chopping block and know they're getting ready to chop your head off. No, it wouldn't be easy. Well, John the Baptist, when he was down there in that dungeon after he'd preached the word of God so sternly, and he knew it hurt him, it tore the heart out of them people that listened, knowing it was in adultery. And they come down to get him. He knew his time was over. Old John could have said, "I'm sorry I ever said something. Please, I beg mercy. Please let me live. I'll not say nothing about it no more." No, he didn't. He knew what it was going to cost him. The chunk didn't fall out when that blade was coming down. It stayed solid as could be because there was life in it. God, help us to have life, real life. Something real. Something that's genuine. Something that won't fall to pieces when things in life happen. But it'll stand true. Fervent. Strong. God help us all. Let us all stand. I have a very special unspoken request for somebody here. And I'm asking you to pray with me. You don't know what it is, but God knows what it is. But I'm asking you to pray with me and ask God to come in and intervene and to meet the need. Will you do that with me? It's one of your own. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you, time of need. We have a dear one, Lord, a precious loved one, one of our own people here, Lord, that needs you. Most, if not all, these people standing here, Lord, don't know, don't have a clue. But I trust, Lord, there'll be something inside their heart in desperation, crying out for the need that Brother DeLong asked for. The Father, that you would meet that need and bless and strengthen and encourage. Reveal, Lord, oh God, what it must be. Help the individual, Lord. May there be a press placed in his heart that, Lord, everything about him will desire to be like Jesus Christ. And Satan, you have no right over him. I command you to take your hands off of him and release him. The Lord Jesus, be free in the spirit and do those things which is pleasing in your sight, Lord. God, we don't want to lose a one. We love the sheep, Lord, and we don't want to lose one of them. But Father, only you are the one that can fix all problems. You're the only one. So I'm asking, Lord, and I'm trusting each one of these people that stand here with me. We agree upon this, that, Lord Jesus, you will meet the need and believe that you'll take care of it. In your holy, precious name, I ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, glory. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got a song you want to sing? Amen. Hallelujah. I think she's playing. What's the song you playing, sister? Yes, that's it. I thought it was. Let's sing it, little chorus. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will but thine, Lord? The answer I may never know. Thy ever love me so, to an old cross it go for. Who am I? Hallelujah. Oh, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will but thine? Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. The answer I may never know. Why ever love me so? But to an old rugged cross I go for. Yes, he did. Hallelujah. You're dismissed. God bless you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for?